Yes, sir. We'll get a little bell so we can ring it like that right there.
I got one.
You got? I bet you got four. You just can't find three of them.
That's true.
All right. Psalms 143. And guys, I want to tell you that as I studied this a couple of times this week, it's just like every time you get into the Bible and you start looking at it and you start praying about it, thinking about it, meditating on His Word, what happens? God begins to whisper, doesn't He? And if you are looking for direction this morning, I would strongly encourage you to get in the Word and to start reading it and meditating on it. And God does something when through His Holy Spirit when that happens. Father, thank You so much, Lord, for Your grace. And that's the only way we have anything to say this morning. That's the only way we can come to Your presence this morning, that we can walk into Your courtroom boldly, Lord, because of the price that You paid. So speak to us today, God, because of Your grace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So I was listening to a guy this week, and he told this story, and I've heard it several times in the past. But he actually did this, which I'm not going to do it. I'm afraid we might have a riot, or y'all might start fighting amongst yourselves. He got a crisp new $100 bill out, okay? And he's holding that $100 bill, and he's holding it in his hand, and he says, "How many of y'all want this?" And his church is slightly bigger than our church, but so there were several hundred thousand bunch that wanted it. Okay, everybody goes like that. Okay, because, you know, if he thought the way they roll, they might say, "Just come on up here and get it." And he said, "Well, let's wait a minute." He said, though, then he takes it and wads it up 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 and crinkles it and puts it all together, just holds it up in a little ball. He said, "How many of y'all want it now?" Same amount of people wanted it. Okay. Then he took it and got some water and dirt, mud, and began to rub on it. Just rub on it. And just take that $100 bill and just rub on it and rub on it. And it was just filthy. It was dripping. It's like, and he said, "Now who wants it?" Same amount of people. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why is that? Because it has inherent value. No matter what it's been through, no matter what it looks like, however it turned out at the other side. I've actually asked that question before because I've had some torn bills, and I thought, they said, "Just tape it up. We'll still take it." And some of us this morning come to church, whether it's by online or here in person, we've been torn. We've been wadded up. We've been stepped on. And that's the way we feel. And we think, "How can I have any value?" And I want to tell you that you have exactly the same value that you had before that process started. Because Jesus said it specifically. He said, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. If you're here this morning, if you're following me this morning, and because I know I talked to some folks yesterday that may or may not be following us this morning, and I'll leave that out. But anyway. So Psalms 143, and in this particular New King James Version that I've been using for a very long time, this is my preaching Bible, it says, "An earnest appeal for guidance and deliverance." It's paraphrased as that. I want you to think about that. How many of you think that in this day and time, right now, in this country, at this time, I think it's the 19th of May, 2024, do you think we need guidance? Okay. Do you think we need deliverance? I do. Okay. So this is David, and he is praying to the Lord. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness. Now, guys, I want to tell you, if you appeal, if you go to prayer this morning and you appeal to God because, Lord, I've done this. I've done this. I've got my stuff done right. You know, that's, I did this right. So, Lord, I deserve this. I did this right, so I deserve this. You are misinformed, okay? Because on your rightest, your best, your most wonderful day, which I'm still waiting on that in my life, whatever that day is, your rightness is as what?
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags in his presence. We don't bring our holiness. We don't bring this. Listen, we do bring our covenant because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. But I want to tell you, he says, because in your faithfulness is God faithful.
Yes.
Now, right now, the enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he comes in and says is, well, if he was faithful, this wouldn't happen. If he was faithful, this wouldn't happen. If he was faithful, I'd have been born rich, skinny, and good looking. Okay. If, you know what I mean? If, and if you were in South Africa this morning and you're standing out there waiting to get your water in a bucket, okay, because the entire water system has broken. There's nothing coming through the pipe when you turn it on, and everybody's paid their bill, but it doesn't make any difference, okay, because it's broke, okay? So when they come out there to get that bucket and it runs out of water before they get there and that truck drives off, I would be thinking, Lord, what did I do? Because that's a circumstances that are beyond their control. You know, if when things happen, when sickness comes, when discouragement comes, when all that comes, we say, Lord, what did I do? But what's this? He is appealing to him because of his faithfulness. Is God faithful?
Yes.
And it does matter what we do, okay? If I'm, you know, if you make choice, you know, choices have circumstances, consequences, and we all know that. And I don't want to take away from that. But I want you to know that in life there will be trouble. So if you're having problems this morning, if you're not where you want to be, it's time to take the first step to get to where you need to be. So watch this. Do not enter into judgment with your servant. And he's asking, he's not telling, okay? You don't go before if you go to get your tags at the license bureau, you don't tell them what to do, you ask them what to do. Okay, we got a good one here, but I'm just saying, you know, I've spent a lot of time going, oh, I hope I get, you know, because, you know, they get tired of me switching them tags from motorcycle to motorcycle. Anyway, so he says literally, in your sight, no one living is righteous. Is that the truth? Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 3, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life into the darkness. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. So guys, I was in the military, and one of the things that we learned is the Air Force lent me to the Army for a while, and while I was there, what we learned in that infantry was that, let's say the Army does a lot of walking, okay? I think you probably know that. But you do a lot of walking. Yeah, okay. So the Army does a lot of walking. And so, but at some point it gets dark, it's time to rest, and they stop. And then they post perimeter guards for the night. You follow me? They post perimeter guards, okay? And for every 2 hours they'll change, and people get sleep. You see what I'm saying? I might take the first and they go to sleep, and then, you know, you everybody misses out on 2 hours of their sleep. But the point being is this, guys. They are tasked with staying awake. okay? They are tasked with paying attention. That's not the time to be looking at Facebook, okay? Especially in enemy territory. Let's just think of it more like that. Not like what I was doing was in Georgia. I think we were pretty safe, okay? There's hillbillies, but you know. But anyway, but the point being is they are tasked with being watchful. They are on guard. And I want to tell you, when I look at this and I see this, and he says it, listen, the enemy's persecuted, he's crushed my life. And I want to tell you, this country and the Church of Jesus Christ, we are not awake, okay? We're still children, we're still his kids, okay? But the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy, isn't he?
Yes.
And we have gone to sleep because we are comfortable. We're not, and a lot of countries this morning, they're hiding to have church, okay? We don't have to hide to come church, to have church, okay? We come up here and we've had some weird stuff happen the last 20 years once or twice, but there's never been anybody coming here and say, well, get up, everybody get out with machine guns and we have to go to jail or go to, right?
Right.
But I want to tell you something, that would wake you up a little bit to that there's a spiritual warfare going on. And I'll never forget, this is many years ago, but I was talking to one of my missionary friends and he said, you know, we don't encourage our people that we're raised up in our churches to come to America to go to college. And I go, oh, you guys have school? He said, well, we just teach them on our own. We have correspondence. And I said, well, why don't you want them to come over here? He said, because when they come over here, they become Americanized Christians.
Yes.
And they're no longer soldiers.
That's right.
They're more like country club folks. Okay, and guys, I want to tell you that I'm convicted this morning. I was convicted yesterday as I was praying and crying out to God. And here's the deal. I'm not saying that we're going the wrong direction. I'm just saying we've been distracted. Does that make sense? The Church of Jesus Christ has been distracted. So that inherent value of that $100 bill we talked about earlier, you are much more, way, way, way more valuable than that would ever be. That's just for an illustration. But here's the deal. What we've done is we've minimized people and maximized our programs and our image and our and all this stuff. And guys, I just want to tell you, it's time to get back to the guard duty. So, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He's crushed my life into the ground. He has made me dwell in the darkness like those who have long been dead. David is suffering. I don't know at what point he is writing this psalm, okay? I don't know. I don't know if it's while he's in the cave. I don't know if it's after he has been, his whole country, is his own son is trying to take over his kingdom and he's fleeing for his life, okay? I don't know at what point this is being written. I don't know, but I can tell you, he's going through something. Does anybody in here ever go through anything? And I want to tell you, that's the time to call on the Lord. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me and my heart is distressed. Guys, I want to tell you, the next point I want to hit hard, and it may not take but a minute, but is this. If I have a splinter, I don't, but I'm just making this up, okay? If I have a splinter and my focus goes to that splinter, that's all I can think. I just, you know, it's, you know, I can't believe I got a splinter. This splinter is hurting me. You know, it's not a challenge to me being alive. It's not a challenge to me, but it's a splinter. It's, you know, you just don't know how important I am, and this is bothering me, okay? And my attention goes to that. It's very hard to work if my attention is on the splinter and not on what I'm supposed to be doing. It would be hard to drive if I was up there with one hand on the wheel and doing that, or on the bike, it'd be even scarier. But the point being is, right? And what's happened is we have become so self-absorbed, so self-focused. And what happens, this gets more and more and more and bigger and bigger and bigger. And what I have found in my life, and what I have told many, many people through the years, as they are in this situation right here, where they are literally, my spirit's overwhelmed and my heart is distressed, to take that focus. Yes, you are going through something. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's but take that focus and turn that outward. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the hospital to visit somebody, and I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with this, this is going on, you know, and what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And I go in there and give to that person. I'm talking about of myself, not financially. This doesn't have anything to do with money. This has to do with being there for them, loving them, sharing the gospel, love it, and being the brothers and sisters God's called us to be. And guess what? The focus come off my splinter. The focus went there, and you're not going to, I would leave there going, wow. I mean, I should be discouraged. I'm up there with sick folks, but I'm 100%. Time to stop and get chicken. I mean, I'm like, before that, I didn't feel like eating, right? But now it's like, wow, my focus is off of me not having that, or this not doing that, or that person not doing that, or they're not doing me right, or this boy. Instead of taking that focus here, and I was thinking about this earlier this week sometime. I've always thought that was an interesting scripture. The Son of God, Jesus, is at the well, and the woman at the well comes, and they've gone to get food because they ain't ate in a while. Remember the story? The disciples have gone into town to get something to eat. They're going to bring it back. Go through the drive-thru, bring me something back. Okay? So they're coming back, and they come back and say, oh, we got food. And he said, essentially, hey, I'm good. I've got food you don't know about. Because he had just done the Father's will. Are you following me? Those things that we think are so important start going like this. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, we got the whole world hungry. The whole world is hungry for something. Hungry for affirmation, hungry for this, hungry for that. And what would happen is if we turned around and said, you know what I'm going to do, is I'm going to give, love, share, be there for you, what would happen is we would begin to get full. And I can't tell you how many people, this is not a joke, that I've been talking to in a counseling situation, I said, you know anybody in a nursing home? And they're like, well, yeah. I said, well, I want to tell you. You need to go see them. And it's like, what? Yeah, you need to go spend time with them. And you need to share with them. Find out their dietary requirements. Because Toby's grandpa used to be in the nursing home in Forsyth. This is in the 90s. Huh? Hollister. That's where it was, Hollister. And once a week, I'd swing through there in the church, man. Before I went in there, I'd go to the grocery store and get us both two donuts. And I'd go there and have coffee with him once a week, and man, he loved donuts. Was Preston, what was it? Not Preston, I'm close. Starts with a P. Anyway, he loved donuts. And we'd go in there, man, he would light up, bam. I'd walk in that door, and I want to tell you, I learned more about fishing and hunting, and it was so good for me. You know, because we had all, anyway, but the point being is, if we decide to do that, I want to tell you, God will do something. Take that focus off, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about this? What about me? What about me? What about me? And the world has got to that to the point that we've all, anyway, you get the point. So, My heart in me is distressed. I remember the days of old. Okay? Verse 5. 5A, we would call it if you're, you know, going to school. If you look at that, I want to tell you, you know what happens. I did 240 miles yesterday in the Ozarks on my motorcycle, prayed with people all over the place, had a great time. And I want to tell you, can you imagine if when I pulled out here, I just said, you know what, I'm going to do this whole trip watching the rearview mirror. How far you think I'd have got? I don't think I'd have made Galena. I'm serious. I know I wouldn't have made Branson because then, you know, I mean, because you cannot live in the past. And if you try to go back to the past, if you try to live in the past, I want to tell you, it'll derail the train. Does that make sense? I meditate on all your works. And I want to tell you, to me, that talks about thankfulness. And I am encouraging you to be thankful. I was praying last night with some folks, and literally, guys, I want to tell you, before I left the house, I said, God, I want those divine connections. I want those divine appointments. I want those divine, and guys, I want to tell you, I couldn't stop not see somebody that needed Jesus, that needed prayer. I couldn't stop, you know, I'm surprised I wasn't doing it in traffic. I mean, because you know, number one, it's a target-rich environment, okay? But number two is that he'll take those eyes off of you looking in the mirror to looking at the world, because so he came to save those that are lost. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So what he's doing right here is he's not necessarily going looking at the days of old as a bad thing. He's looking at what God has done, like the deliverance from Egypt and all of that. He's, you know, and I actually was studying that again this week. So that's scary because we spent years and years and years there. So if we go back, some of you guys are going to go, I thought we were going to stay in the New Testament. Anyway, okay. So I muse on the work of your hand, your works, your hands. I spread out my hands to you like a thirsty land. My soul longs for you. Guys, I don't know how many of you are still in the situation where I know some of us are out in the heat, and what are they going to tell you? Stay hydrated. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Okay? Drink, drink, drink. Because what happens is you can actually go a long time without eating. Now, yesterday I did have some adequate gizzards. Okay? You know, there's nothing like convenience store gizzards, especially when they've been on the light for a while, you know, and they get a little bit hard around the edges, you know, smother them in hot sauce, and they're really good for you. I'm sure they've got all the nutrients you need. For $19.95, you can get my book, Roadside Surprises. Anyway, haven't written it yet, but we'll, you know, they're pre-order. I'm just kidding. Okay. But here's the deal. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. And I want to tell you what happens is Jesus said it specifically. He said, anybody that's thirsty, come to me. You remember that, right? On the last day of the feast, he stands up and he said, hey, not the good people, not the bad people, not the in the middle people. He said, anybody that's thirsty. And if you're thirsty, he is the living water. Okay. And here's the deal, guys. The bottom line is this, is if you are not drinking of the living water, what happens first when you don't drink is you get the feeling where you get a headache, and your head will not be right. If you're not drinking of the living water, your head will not be right. This world is the reason their heads aren't right is because they're not drinking living water. We're saying, oh, you're bad. You're this, you know, what they don't have is what they need. Because here's the deal, in my other job, I have come in contact with people who were diabetics and were having a diabetic deal, and, you know, a spell, as my mom would say, they're having a spell, but they'd be having a spell and would think, oh, they're drunk, they're this, they're that, and you know what? It's just their sugar. Their body was doing that. And if you don't have living water, your body will start doing some weird things. You will get confused. And I want to tell you, plug into the living water this morning. And if you go long enough, then what happens is you get very weak. Confusion. You get dazed. And then without water in a short period of time, you'll die. You can go a while without a gizzard. Okay, and some of you gone your whole life without a gizzard. Okay, Phil Westmoreland, Randy and Pam Blair Davis is watching. Good to see you. All right, so here's the deal. Answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. And I want to tell you, you guys, I'm sure, are not as impatient as I am, but I'm like, I needed that yesterday. When I come to work and I say, I needed that yesterday, you know, I'm hurry, let's get this done. And I want to tell you, to make a masterpiece takes a while. And that's what God's doing in your life. He's making the best you. And it takes a while. It takes a little sandpaper. Anybody ever been sanding on? Sometimes I feel a little rough around the edges, okay? And I've been sanded on, life has sanded on me. Okay, it's sanding on me. And I'll tell you, the interesting, I'll never forget this, many years ago in Texas, we were in a conference. And Sam Sasser stood up and began to talk about the vessel teaching. But there was a portion of that, you know, how he says, you know, that he felt what Paul's talking about, you know, a vessel and he's talking about the context that scripture was written in. And he talked about, well, they didn't have no plastic in the Holy Land and when Jesus was around. There wasn't no plastic. You couldn't go to the Walmarts and get you a plastic trash can. See, trash cans were earthen vessels, okay? Water was in earthen vessels. The stuff you take the grain in was either a basket or an earthen vessel. See, they had to go to the well. It was earthen vessels. That's what they were doing. Like, sure, they probably had some wooden buckets, some small ones. And most of them, what they did is they had a process, okay? So I'm going to hit this. I can't go too fast, but yeah, whatever. What time is it? 42? Oh, I got plenty of time. I got an hour, you know, because you guys are, you've already had your coffee. Anyway. But the point being is this, we'll just use one part of it. What happens with using those vessels over and over and over, they get long, they get kind of rough around the edges, they get dirty, they begin to stink, okay? And they put them through a process to fix them. They take another vessel that's been broken, a portion of that, and they scrape out the inside. That scraping. And he stood up there, and I'll never forget, he said, some of y'all are going through some scraping. I almost said, yes! I am. You know, me, pick me. I mean, can we get it over with? But I want to tell you, it's interesting to me that they use another broken vessel. In other words, people will scratch you on the inside, won't they?
Yeah.
And here's the deal. To get that back right again, then they wash it in water and then do it again. Wash it in water, do it again. Wash it in water, do it till all the sediment, all of it. And see, he's doing that in our lives. And I want to tell you, it ain't fun. How's that? It's not for the faint in heart. We'll do the whole vessel teaching another time because I love that. It gets into some detail there. But he said, hurry up, Lord, my spirit fails. Don't hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. And here's the deal, guys. He has not hidden his face from you. He has not. I want to tell you, but if you're distracted and you're looking this direction and you're worried about this and he's always this way, then you're just not seeing him, okay? He is not turning. It may feel that way, okay? Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust? Cause me to know in the way that I should walk, for I lift my soul to you. I want to tell you, the enemy really only has one song. He had Linda Ronstadt sing it for him one time. Nothing against Linda, by the way. It's, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good. That's what the enemy is always saying. Because you know why? Because there's condemnation with that. There's all this, yeah. Have you done stuff that's wrong? Absolutely. Have I done stuff wrong this week? Absolutely. I mean, seriously. But you inherently are that $100 bill. I'm coming back to the beginning, okay? You say, oh Lord, if he goes around again, it's gonna be a while. But what's this, guys? Seriously, you have inherent value, okay? And he is singing that song to you, okay? You fail in this area. He's like, you're no good. You're nice. Now listen, I'm gonna tell you something. You are chosen, selected, preordained, and predestined from the foundation of the earth to be the man or woman God's called you to be. Chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. And I've told people that before, and they said, well, I think that's somebody else. I said, no. I said, you know why I know it's you? And they go, no. I said, because you met me. And God told me to tell everybody I meet that. Think about all the hundreds of millions of people in the time from beginning to end, and we come like this. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're hearing this morning, you're chosen. You're selected. You're preordained. You're predestined. Then the first thing the enemy says is why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why? I'm going to tell you something. I get it. If you ain't been down that path, you ain't been around. Okay? But here's the deal. You're chosen. And cause me to know in the way, we're in 8, cause me to know in the way that I should walk, for I lift my soul to you. And this, we're going to stop here, and I'm going to tell you this, okay? If I was going to go to Kansas City, and I'd never been there before, by the way, I could get there from here. No problem, okay? I could probably take you about 14 different, well, no, no, about 5 different ways. But if I'd never been and you handed me a map and I began to look at that map, and I like maps, to be honest with you. I've spent a lot of time looking at maps of different places. And if I got that map and I looked at it and I looked at, okay, we're in Crane, and then I looked at a little community north there, and I Hurley, okay? And then I took 3 hours to look at the background of Hurley, and if there's any potholes, or if there's anything in Hurley, or is the creek up, is the creek down? I made 7 phone calls. I and I heard that one time a dog ran out in front of somebody in Hurley, and you gotta be real careful, how long do you think it'd take you to get to Kansas City? Because there's another little community after that. There's another, you see what I mean? And I want to tell you, the Word of God is alive. And if you will get into it, it will begin to talk to you about the things that you need to know. The Word of God is not just this page here. It is God breathed, okay? And if you start getting into, because this is what happens to people. They say, I can't read the Bible. I read that part about the so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot. If that's the Bible, you know, if you get hung up on the begotters or whatever, you're going to have trouble. You're not going to get past Hurley. Does that make sense? Okay. But here's the deal, guys. God breathed into that. And as we study to show ourselves approved, as we do this, I want to tell you, every place that I have followed the Word of God, every time I've been obedient to the Word of God, I've been blessed. Every time I've gone this way with the Word of God, I've not been blessed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like if you turn, I can take a glass and to my house down the road, I can stick it on the faucet and stand there like this, And I tell you what, I could be standing there a week later, not a drop will come out. I mean, is there water in that pipe?
Yeah.
It's right there. And have I got something to hold it?
Yeah.
I know there's water there. I paid a light bill. Oh, no, wait, the water bill. Okay. Maybe. Okay, I'm holding it under there. I'm holding it. I'm waiting. And what do you have to do? Kim's got a new fancy thing on there. I have to figure out which is hot and cold. That's about every time. But you put it on there, and guess what comes out of there? Some of that good, crane, clean water. But if I don't put my hand on that knob, I could be standing there right now from last week. I'd be tired. But, right?
Yeah.
And so you can carry this around with you, but I want to tell you, God's telling us to turn the knob and to see what he has to say to you through his word. Father, thank you so much for these folks. And Lord, because of the distress of David, we're blessed this morning. And Lord, because of my distress, people yesterday were blessed. Because Lord, instead of focusing in, I said, Lord, let me be an instrument of your grace. And Lord, you did that. And Lord, I pray that everybody watching this morning, everybody that's in this room this morning, God, that that's what we would do. It's not that we don't take care of ourselves, but that we realize that we have a higher calling, is to represent you, to be Christ's ambassadors, and be obedient to what he calls us to do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you.